All right, so today we are in part two of a three-part series titled Jesus and Politics. And I thought it was a good dad joke. I might say it later on. I had some mixed reviews, so just see how I feel halfway through this. It's a dad joke. You know I think it's funny. So, and I know a few dads will laugh, but anyways, you know, being a follower of Jesus is the more challenging life that we could choose. But the end result is that we get to spend eternity in heaven with our Creator. And in the meantime, while we're here on earth, we get to have our Creator, our Savior, Jesus, go through life with us here on earth. So no matter what we're dealing with, hardships, good times, bad times, we need some resources, we need some friends, whatever the case may be, Jesus will see us through that. And even though it may be a little more challenging, it's better off in the end. But there's a few things that come along with that. Like, number one, we are to be set apart by the world's standards, according to the world's standards. It means that we are to abide by the teachings of Jesus. It means that we are to be the salt and light to those around us. Salt brings flavor out in food. Light helps you see in the darkness. It means that we are to go through life using God's word, the Bible, as our filter. And that alone in itself can be a challenge, because we have to weigh out, how am I going to navigate through this phase of my life, or how am I going to navigate through the decisions that I need to make? Well, we use the Bible as our filter. For instance, when it comes to politics, are we using the Bible as our filter, or are we creating a version of our faith that fits our political views? I think sometimes we get those two a little mixed up. Last week, we looked at how politics is and can be driven by fear. No longer do we hear a candidate, or rarely, talk about how all the good things they're going to do in order to get somebody to vote for them. They talk about how bad their opponent is. They want to create an element of fear to get you to vote for them. And I think we can all agree that there is a growing division between political ideals and views, no matter where you're at in all of this. Last week, we talked about a prayer that Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 17. And his prayer was for us, his church. Number one, I believe that Jesus expected his church to be diverse. He wanted his church to be made up of white people, black people, brown people, people from different nationalities, all different people coming together, worshiping him. And his prayer for us was that we were united, or we would be united, that we would go through life as one, just as he and the Father are one. That's what he wants us, church, to do. This church here, and then the body of Christ as a whole. And if you didn't see that sermon, or you weren't here last week, I encourage you to check it out at vineyard05.com, and you can get the full message of that. But this series is designed to get us in a place where we are listening to others with the intent on understanding their view on things. I think listening to other people might even be a lost art these days. But when reading the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you can see that people, mainly the religious leaders, often try to trick and trap Jesus into choosing sides on certain issues. And if we're being honest, this really hasn't changed. We can pick all kinds of things out of the scriptures and say, well, Jesus definitely would have been a Republican because of this. Or we can pick other things out and say, Jesus definitely would have been a Democrat. No, he was a libertarian all the way. I think he would have been an independent. No, I think he was more socialist. He was, you know, free everything. He gave away everything for free. But remember, if we use the Bible as our filter in all things, especially politics, we'll be in a much better place. It's more challenging, and it might cost us, but it pays off better in the long run. I think a dangerous line to walk would be when we find ways to create a version of our faith to adhere to the things that we believe. It's critical that we use the Bible as our filter. And with all of this being said, today's message is titled, Choosing Sides. I'm just going to do it. I have to do it. I think we all know how Jesus would have voted because he rode into town on a donkey. But, let's talk about the elephant in the room. Sorry, Kim. Woo! All right, but really, how many times have you heard somebody say what political party they think Jesus would have voted for? Right? I mean, it happens all the time. I was just on social media last night, and I read stuff about it. We can find things that Jesus said that would align to the political party that we ourselves align ourselves with. And, you know, in doing some studying on this particular sermon, there's a story in Matthew chapter 17, and I love this story because I'm not even too sure why Jesus did it. But he and Peter, one of the disciples, are going into the temple, and there's this conversation about paying the temple tax. And so there's this conversation that goes on. Well, you know, so Jesus says to Peter, he says, hey, go out to the sea, drop in a line, the first fish you catch, reach into its mouth, pull out a coin, and come and pay the temple tax. Well, Jesus didn't pull out any money out of his pocket. He didn't say, hey, Peter, do you have some money? Pay the man the taxes. He didn't say, hey, Peter, go get Judas, the treasurer for the disciples, to get money to pay the taxes. He sent Peter out to go catch a fish, pull out a coin to come and pay the taxes. So this is just me. Jesus didn't pay the tax out of anything from man's kingdom. He paid the tax from his kingdom. There's a pastor by the name of Tony Evans who has a quote. It's kind of a famous quote, I think, but it says this. He said this, Jesus didn't come to choose sides. He didn't come to take sides. He came to take over. I just wonder if that's why he had Peter go get a coin out of the fish. Because first of all, I mean, who can do that? I could never do that. But he paid the tax from his kingdom. So nobody could say, well, he you know. Jesus came to introduce the kingdom of God to earth. The kingdom of God is a kingdom where the king lays down his life for the people and everybody is invited to take part in it. However, there will be times when the kingdom of God conflicts with the kingdom of men. That's why there's this tension that we have as human beings when it comes to using the Bible as our filter. Because we want to go down this path and we want to stick to our ideals and our viewpoints. But if the Bible says something else, we have to adhere to that. As kingdom-minded people, we have to. That's how we stay united. That's how we stay as one within the body of Christ. As Jesus followers, we are to be kingdom people first and political second. Everything else comes after the kingdom of God Whatever your most favorite thing is to do, you know, maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your job, maybe it's your hobbies, maybe it is your politics. It's kingdom of God first. And sometimes this can be hard to do because we get caught up in stuff and we want to buy into what we're hearing. We want to vote this way, but I don't know. We're going to talk about something that we touched on a bit last week, right before Jesus was getting ready to be crucified, and he knew that the window of time was closing in. And he says to the disciples, it's in John chapter 13, we'll have it up on the screen. He says, a new commandment I give you, love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you are my disciples. And then it was shortly after that he talked about this being unified, this prayer of unity. And then in John 15 he says the same thing, love one another as I have loved you. I want everybody in this room, if you're a believer in Jesus, if you're not, you will have an opportunity to invite him in your life after the service here, after the sermon. If you're a believer in Jesus, I want you to just take a moment and think about how good Jesus is to you. Think about how good he is to you compared to all the things you do that aren't so good. His unconditional love is beyond anything that we can offer anybody else. His forgiveness is almost beyond anything that we can share with anybody else. Forgiveness can be tough. Jesus treats every one of us as if we were the only one in his hand because he loves us that much. His love for us is unconditional. His forgiveness is beyond imagination. But this verse right here tells me he expects me and us to share that same kind of love and forgiveness with others. Because that is how the world will know you are my followers, you are my disciples. After Jesus ascended into heaven and the disciples scattered and they kind of got their bearings together and they started preaching the gospel, there's this man that came along, his name was Paul. Paul was a religious leader. He hated everything about Jesus and Christianity, but then he has this radical encounter, and he becomes a believer. He joins up with the disciples. He becomes a disciple. He is radical for Jesus, and he travels around the Mediterranean area establishing churches, and when he was away from these churches that he planted, he would write letters to them, and that's what makes up most of the New Testament that we adhere to today. And in his writings, you'll notice that he mentions something called the law of Christ. This right here is the law of Christ that he's talking about, that we love others in the same manner that Jesus loves us. I want to look at a passage in the book of Galatians, chapter 6, verse 2. It's just one verse. It says this, share each other's burdens, and in this way obey the law of Christ. If I'm sharing the burdens of others, I'm fulfilling the law of Christ. I'm loving others in the same manner that Jesus loves me. When we see somebody who is struggling in life, when we see somebody who is burdened because their marriage is falling apart, burdened because their children are going astray, burdened because they've been dealt a blow financially, burdened because of an illness, burdened because of something at work. When we see somebody struggling in life and we come alongside them and we share that burden with them, meaning we pray with them, not just for them, hey, I'll be praying for you, pray with them, share in that burden for them. When you're praying for somebody and with somebody when they're going through a hard time, myself, I expect the Lord to give me a word for them, to encourage them, to lift them up. That is sharing in the burdens of others. And that is fulfilling the law of Christ. Another way that this could be said is when the concerns of others concerns us and we act on it, we are fulfilling the law of Christ. In Philippians, Paul wrote to the church in Philippi, don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. Don't just go through life focused on your stuff, forgetting about what's going on around you. Take an interest in those around you is what he's saying. We have a few major concerns in our country right now. One of them being the elections coming up in November. We know that there's going to be a winning candidate and a losing candidate. It's you know, somebody's going to win, somebody's going to lose. But if our candidate wins, let's say the candidate that you're voting for wins, here's what I would encourage you to do. Don't gloat in the face of your friends or your coworker or your families who voted for the opposite candidate. It's easy to do, right? Here's the thing. As Jesus followers, we are to share in their concerns. We are to share in their burdens. We are to share in their interests. You see, because here's what's happening. When our candidate wins, we're like, yeah, oh, the country is going to continue to go in the direction I want it to go. Or, yeah, the country is going to now be going in the direction that I have wanted it to go. But the person that voted for the opposite candidate that didn't win, there's an element of fear within them. Because they fear for the future of their country. They may fear for the future of their children. They're not going to understand why you're so happy because they wanted to go in this direction when it's going to continue or it's going to turn in this direction. And so as believers in Jesus, as followers of Jesus, instead of saying, I don't understand what you're upset about, things are going to change. Well, they don't understand your viewpoint. And so it is up to us as believers, whether our candidate wins or loses, to share in the concerns of those around us. Because here's the thing. I mentioned this last week. God oversees the leaders of the nations. He's always up to something. It's his plan to begin with. We just get to play a part in it. And I believe that when we share in the concerns of others, when we share the burdens, when we look into the interests of others, as a church, as believers in Jesus, we need to be aware of what's going on around us with people. Because it is our responsibility to be the salt and light in the world, to represent Jesus to those around us. Because the fact of the matter is, when you don't have Jesus in your life, you're walking in darkness. And your hope and your faith and your stability is in man's kingdom, not the kingdom values of Jesus. And so how can we call ourselves followers of Jesus if we don't share in the concerns of those around us? It's also why we cannot be divided with our political differences in the church. We can't be. Everybody has a political view because that's the view that they think fits best for what they want to see. And you can say, well, I would never vote for this candidate because of that one issue, or I would never vote for that candidate because of those three issues, but there's other issues there. Listen, I have non-negotiables in a candidate. But I'm willing to listen to those around me to find out why they vote for somebody that might be the opposite candidate that I'm going to vote for. And I just refuse to believe that people go to the polls to vote in the hopes that my vote will help destroy the country. I mean, isn't that what we say to people? You're voting for them, you're going to destroy the country. Well, that's exactly what I want. I don't believe that. We vote for a candidate because we think they're the best person for the job. And candidates are going to come and go. Candidates are going to come and go. Political platforms are going to change. And the dynamics of our nation, as we're seeing now, may change. But it is the kingdom values of Jesus Christ that will never change. The resurrection of Jesus Christ and eternal life in heaven is what we need to point people to who don't know him. We need to be able to see beyond the differences that we have in others. Because this is what will prove to the world we are Jesus followers. If somebody is not happy with the political direction of this country, a friend, family member, coworker, whatever, forget about debating with them. Forget about trying to change their mind on things, and simply point them to Jesus by sharing in their concerns. Again, the kingdom of Jesus we know will never change. Our political views and values, they'll change over time. But can we all agree on something from here on out? Can we challenge ourselves? I really feel like, I was talking to Mark Pollan about this earlier in the week. I really, really feel like Jesus wants us to challenge ourselves with the scriptures. Because church, this particular church is I was going to say the second chapter of its journey, but really it's the third. Pastor Dave and Roxana started this church 43 years ago by themselves. And they were Faith Chapel. They were an independent church. That was the first chapter. The second chapter was when we joined up with the Vineyard and we became a part of an association. We became a tribe within the Church of Jesus. We became a part of a tribe. That's Vineyard language for those of you that don't know. It's cool, doesn't it? Sounds cool. Better than an association. I'm running with a good tribe. And then in a few weeks, we're gonna solidify the change in leadership from Pastor Dave to myself. That'll be chapter 3 in this church's journey in life. And for those of you that call this your church family, we are all on a journey together. We're in this together. And I want to encourage you to challenge yourselves in the scriptures. I feel like God wants to challenge us, if not all of us, with his word and his ways. Don't just surface read the Bible anymore. Get into it. Talk to people about it. Share what you've read with your coworkers, even if you don't understand it. Start it out with, you know, I don't really understand this, but can I share with you what I was reading this morning in the Bible? Because you never know where they're at. Can we start to listen to those who may experience the world differently than we do, as opposed to telling them how we think the world is going to go? There's a proverb in chapter 18. It says this: intelligent people are always ready to learn. I think every person in this room is intelligent. Intelligent people are always ready to learn. Their ears are open to knowledge. Are we willing to listen, church? Are we willing to engage in conversation with someone whose political views are different than yours and then listen to what they have to say? Don't debate. Don't tell them why they're wrong. Just listen. Just listen. Become a student and not a critic. If we don't listen and learn, if we don't listen to others and learn from their experiences, we discount anything that doesn't fit perfectly within our viewpoint. And we stop learning. We live life in our own echo chamber because it's all our viewpoint. And we listen to people that just have the same viewpoint as us. There's no challenge there. Let me put it in a little more challenging way, since we're in a political series. If you're a Republican, your Democrat brothers and sisters aren't crazy. And if you're a Democrat, your Republican brothers and sisters aren't crazy. It's those libertarians and independents. No, I'm just kidding. Just kidding. They're not crazy either. The people who have an opposing political viewpoint than yours, they're not crazy. You know what it is? They just are in a different place, so they see the world and they see things from a different viewpoint. Do you know what Republicans and candidates have in common? There's something that we all have in common. Jesus died for all of us so that we would have the opportunity to call upon his name and receive the forgiveness that he has to offer and to have eternal life in heaven with him. Jesus doesn't see Republican, Democrat, Libertarian, Independent. He sees people. He sees his creation. How can we share this, the love of Jesus, with others if we are not willing to listen? Not willing to become students with those who are in a different place than we are, see life differently than we do, grew up in a different atmosphere than we did, so their viewpoints are different than ours. Their values are different than ours. It's about, I say this because it really isn't about this side versus that side. It's about sharing in the burdens and the concerns of others. So much so that we are unified as a body of believers, just like Jesus prayed that we would be. That was his prayer for us, the church, the body of believers. So I'll wrap it up with this. Can we challenge ourselves in fulfilling the law of Christ by bearing the burdens of others? Can we challenge ourselves in learning from others whose viewpoint in life may be from a different angle than ours? When we share in the concerns of others, we now become the salt and light in the world that Jesus expects us to be. So let's, church, pray for unity within our body and share in the burdens of those around us. Amen? Let's pray. Lord God, I thank you so much. First of all, I want to thank you for giving me the vision for this series, God, of using your word as our filter. And that we can go through life not looking at a person based on their stance in politics or anything else, but we go through life learning from those around us and listening to them and loving others in the same manner that you love us, sharing their burdens, sharing their concerns, and partaking in their interests. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.